Hello and welcome to Intrepid Heroes Presents, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder or Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Peyton Smith. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. So Peyton was recently hired at Paizo as the social media producer about 5 months ago?
Yeah, around that. I think somewhere around late June.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about your job here as social media producer, kind of what it entails and how it relates to the work of the rest of the company?
Basically, I think Paizo's been wanting to get more of a relationship basically with everybody online. And it's one of the things I've been trying to improve on. So I basically was able to apply. I drove all the way from Louisiana,
wow,
all the way up here to Washington in under 3 days, funny enough, which was an interesting drive. And through there, basically, my job basically entails managing like the Twitch and YouTube stuff, kind of producing all of that media so you guys can basically see what the designers are doing, what games we could be playing, all this fun stuff. And also trying to integrate you and like the audience and stuff like that into it as much as possible. Also for getting content out on Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. But we do highly encourage people to come over to the Twitch because that's when, you know, the audience can really actually have a discussion with us.
Right, and that's where I've seen you mostly is on the Twitch channel and stuff. So you also do the content posts for Facebook and Twitter too?
Yeah, usually we have a marketing team that comprises mostly of like me, Jim Butler, and Aaron Shanks. And we usually try to sit down as sort of a round table because majority of this stuff usually requires a team. And since I'm only one person currently, that definitely helps. It's basically needed to see what message do we want to bring out to you guys, what information. And usually we work together for the most part, but I'm the guy who gets to slave over, you know.
So you're doing the actual sending and other people helping build the message, though.
Yeah, so we have to work together because I'm still new to a lot of this. All of this kind of game industry world and stuff like that. And I've worked with several companies in the past and stuff, but it's a case of this particular thing I'm still new with. But I've had a lot of experience working with people in this field to where it kind of transitions naturally to figure it out.
Right. So what did you do before? Kind of what led you to this current position?
Basically, I used to do basically like help out with marketing and internet merchandising and stuff for Toyota. Basically, for the car dealerships and all that. And but at the same time, I also basically was doing sometimes full-time YouTuber and sometimes full-time Twitch streamer and stuff like that.
Oh, what kind of stuff were you doing for those?
Usually my relationship basically transformed whenever a company wanted to promote their game.
Okay, got it.
Say for like Sony Online Entertainment and stuff like that when they were doing PlanetSide 2, and then they were going to do EverQuest next, which is a sad song that we won't get into, that basically we came to an arrangement going, I'll try to cover your game, you help me out, we'll work together in several meetings to try to basically promote this game. And then after that ship has basically sailed off, I then go to the next company saying, hey, I'm really interested in this game. Cool, you have a really good online presence, we really want to work with you. And then I would sit down in meetings with them going, we probably need to focus on this. Your audience is looking to get information out of this. If you give me this, I can then cover it. And then it's basically bringing the message out there, which is very important because whenever you get a game or whatever, you obviously want everybody to know about it. You know, you want as many people as possible to basically hear about your game, learn about your game. And that basically entitles my job here is to say, what is Pathfinder 2nd Edition? What is Starfinder? And why should you even be playing it? Like, why does this interest you? And my plan is basically to try to do my best to teach you what it is, show you how to play it, and then show you tools that you may want to use to better your play style here.
Very cool. So when you were working with the other companies, was it as a journalistic kind of approach, or was it were you actually a streamer for some of the games?
Yes to both of that, mostly. It's mostly everything. Whenever you try to be a content creator at all on the internet, you really have to kind of sit down and make a plan on what do you need to cover, obviously for your channels and stuff, to figure out to build up your own audience.
Right.
To where normally the tactic that a lot of people do, which you can usually see this if you can go on Twitch right now, when a new game comes out, you can usually see how well that game is received by the audience by how high in the rankings it got.
Right.
And like, say for example, like right now, currently, I think December or something, right now, that
17th today. Yeah.
And basically around that time, Halo Reach just came out on Steam and stuff. A lot of success. Tons of people are playing it. And you can gauge, you can also gauge when the peak time for that kind of ends, because you need to hop on basically the bandwagon before the train stops, really. And after that, then it's a strategy of how do you keep, you know, thumping on the message for people to actually come in and watch. Those are one things that I had to strategize, and basically of being a content creator is like, how do you keep that up?
So did you have a communications background? You have an awesome radio voice,
by the way.
So.
I did radio over at, I'm forgetting the college, LA Tech, I believe, somewhere in Ruston, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy there who was getting his PhD in cybersecurity and all this stuff, or computer science, and then went to that. And I got to do a couple little radio things here and there, basically because I was working at a restaurant. I wanted to get into radio at some point. But I was like, college is really expensive, so I'm probably not going to do that. So I just basically practiced, just talking and everything else. And some of the college people there were like, hey, we're doing our course and stuff like that. And we actually have a college radio station. Mm-hmm. I completely forget what it's called.
Right,
at this point, it was so long ago. But I did some stuff for them, and then various voice acting things all throughout the time, and did a couple of video games there.
Cool. So you've done voice acting for various video games too?
Yeah. I think one of them is The Betrayal at Kalth, or Warhammer 40K. The Betrayal at Kalth is the one that got released, and a bunch of other ones that didn't,
which is
unfortunate. But I think the only one that people recognize me for is If the Emperor Had a Text-to-Speech Device. Or whatever, which is a web series of
Warhammer 40K. Oh, not familiar with it. Yeah,
oh, don't worry. It's it's niche, but at the same time, I'll go to a hobby shop with a bunch of Warhammer 40K people, and they'll be making references. Even there's been coworkers here in Paizo who are real big fans of the show.
Right.
And then they realize that I'm one of the characters on there. They're like, do the voice. So it's been
nice.
It's been interesting to see that reach go. So.
Yeah. Have you looked for other opportunities like that, or is this full-time job just keep you too busy?
Paizo keeps me way busy, a little too busy for my own detriment, but it's, I mean, obviously if there's any opportunities I can take, I like to take them, so I just love doing it.
Yeah, for sure. So can you tell me what type of equipment and software you use when you're doing the production here?
Majority of the equipment is, obviously to the budget of Paizo, for one, and how much they really hate me for suggesting this stuff. basically, around us really is a, multiple pairs of G7, Lumix G7 cameras, which are basically bang for your buck 4K cameras. Mm-hmm. And you can get a clean HDMI signal out of them, depending on the wires and stuff, in which we have four of them. One's kind of basically hanging on the ceiling right now, along with other ones. And then we have some lavalier microphones, of which I'm not a huge fan of lavs, mostly for our setting.
Because they're all omnis, right?
Yeah, usually some of our omnis, I got cardioid for this because the building that we are currently in, sometimes a truck will like to just tap the building and cause a lot of noise. So for condensers and stuff, it kind of helps get rid of a lot of the other noise. Normally, omnis are the way to go for it, but for very particular situations.
No, I've actually been looking for some cardioid lavaliers, and I can't really find any in my price range.
Yeah,
my price range is a lot lower than yours probably.
It's a It's an interesting balance with audio. Audio is possibly the hardest thing to sometimes get right because one little thing can set it off, and then it's just a disaster from there. But what we also use are, if I can remember their name, pretty much I'm forgetting.
Those are SM58s, right?
Yeah, Shure SM58s.
Yeah, that's the same as what we have here as well. Yeah. So
they're really good microphones. They're mostly meant for live performances, but whenever. Because we got these mostly just to have for conventions.
Right.
In which the last Gen Con that we did, the 2019 Gen Con, we used these. And they sounded great for what we could. And one thing I noticed is that these work excellent also for podcasts and everything else. Like, they're actually really good microphones. So I recommend those.
Well, they're good. The cardioid is nice because, like you're saying, the background noise. Yeah. Like, I've done podcasts at conventions. It's like... You'll hear the background buzz, but the cardioid really captures the person right in front of you better than an Omni would.
Yeah, it has a really good direction for it as well, which is something you usually have to consider if your house isn't insulated enough to kind of block out noise.
No,
or
for sure.
You don't have a lot of sound foam that we kind of have in this room that basically helps out with reverb and stuff like that, so your voice isn't bouncing off the walls.
So with your Lumix G7s, do they have a time limit on how much the 4K they can record?
Basically, that is you can override a setting, if I remember correctly, to where you can just.
Yeah, I thought they had like a 20-minute time limit. Yeah, typically,
they definitely do, and it's very frustrating. I had to basically look up some tutorials real quick on like, I know this is arbitrary, and I know there should be a developer setting where I can get rid of it.
And do you record right to the disk or the? It's probably a
little SD card thing.
Yeah, an SD card. Oh, so you don't like to go to a Blackmagic box or anything like that?
No, no. On how these set up for when we do streams, these are actually connected via mini HDMI to a normal HDMI, which goes through a CAN link that is sold by Elgato, which then connects to the USB portions on the computer.
Oh, interesting.
In which one thing that people might want to know is that when you do that, one of the things I want to advise people is that your motherboard has only so much bandwidth it can take, because it's a lot of data, a lot of 4K video data going through your motherboard. So you have to utilize different ports because there's only so much power that can go through.
Oh, it's a power issue.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And only so many – there's some motherboards that are really souped up to where you can deliver all that power and data all through those ports. But sometimes you'll have to do like only two of the cameras in the back and two of the cameras in your front of your case, because that has its own separate power.
Right.
A little regulator thing. I'm forgetting the technical terms, but – that kind of helps with you at least getting the signal instead of just plugging everything in.
So are they USB 3.0 ports then?
Yes, 3.0.
Or 3.1 or 3s?
Minimum, you want it to be 3.0 because that's going to be base limit of what you're going to need for the data rate.
Right, sure.
The faster you can get it, the better.
And are you using a PC then for your editing and everything?
Yep. Definitely you want to edit on a PC, although I prefer Windows. I know you – well – actually, I don't recommend using a Mac for this setup because it's going to be a lot difficult for you, especially with the OS and compatibility and all that other stuff. I know there's ways to do it. So for Mac users, you at least can have a solution, but it's a less of a headache if you just use Windows.
Mm-hmm. And what software do you use for your – do you use the same software for the video and the audio or separate?
You mean during the live streams and stuff like that?
Live stream or whatever. I'm not sure what you do.
No, it's all good. I use, for doing the live stream and stuff, we use OBS. Right. And majority of the microphones and stuff like that are connected via a Behringer mixer, which then feeds in via USB hub, USB into the computer. So all that audio is feeding through there. And then basically all the video stuff is going directly to the video feed onto OBS. So I can basically configure all the stuff inside OBS itself, do any audio balancing. If something sounds wrong with the microphones, I could then put a filter on it in OBS.
And, oh, nice.
And they're not Anagram. It's also Open Broadcast Studio is what that's called. So for people who don't know what that is.
Nice. And you also have some lights here. It looks like LEDs.
Yes, these are, if I can remember what they are called, GVM. Basically, GVM Studio, studio lights. The predecessor for me, Dan, who's an amazing human being, by the way. He did a fantastic job with what he had. He's, which is Dan Tharp, by the way. He was the marketing manager here before me and stuff like that. He's the one who got these, and they are fantastic lights. And a lot of professional studios and stuff even use these. I wish I knew their specific names, but if you look up the... the anagram I just said, you'll be able to get these on Amazon.
GVM.
Yeah.
Looks like a GVM LED. And it's pretty natural light. You don't know the Kelvin rating.
Oh, yeah. You can change it to more of a warm light or a bright blue light. And you can change the intensity of it as well.
Right. So then you don't have to mess with your cameras in terms of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still recommend to white balance all of it
right
after everything's said and done. But for the most part, they're fantastic lights. They can get fairly bright, especially in a smaller studio and stuff. You'll get your mileage out of them.
Right, and then you've done some soundproofing here, it looks like, with curtains and then the egg cartons. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, just a little sound foam, basically. Yeah. The purpose with it, especially with anything you do for like recording and video recording at the same time, you have to question, it's like, how am I going to get the sound correct? Because one of the most important things you do any of these productions is sound. You can have a terrible video, but as long as the sound's good... As long as it sounds great, you're gonna have a decent show.
So watching the Twitch stream, seeing people moving around so much, yet the sound stays very consistent.
Yeah,
so,
one of the banes of my existence is with the lavalier mics. And when people do move, there is scuffling.
Oh yeah, that's what I don't like about the sound and stuff like that. So that's kind of nice. I see you have your mics on stands. You don't use what do you call those
boom arms?
No, you're using the boom
studio
arms.
Studio arms?
No, the spring. What do you call that spring-loaded thing?
It's a shock spring.
Yeah, you don't use a shock spring on them, though, because you're not expecting people to bounce the table or anything like that.
We don't expect them to be moving, and since they aren't studio arms, they're not attached to the table, which if it was on like a studio arm and it was clamped to the table,
then
I would
you'd
like
have
to
that
get
issue.
One.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the because of how they're attached and everything else, we've been mostly just trying to get by with what we have currently. Mm-hmm. But in the future, we're hoping to get – we're getting a actual game table in here.
So. Oh, nice. Like one of those big professional ones that they make? Nice. That'd
and
be cool.
Carolina Game Tables is the one that we got one
from.
Yeah,
I've seen those.
And
those are spendy, too.
Yeah. To the dismay of my superiors. But I asked for that mostly because it's like I really want this place to be a little bit more presentable.
Right.
And stuff like that because like I really love the place and stuff like that. But it's to the point where it's like – I think we can go up another level. I think there's a next level we can go in.
So what kind of things might you be doing then?
For the most part...
When you get a gaming table in, that presumes there might be gaming on it.
Yeah, there definitely will be. That's the whole point. I know because we do Oblivion Oath, which is going to end its season basically this month. Really?
Oh, do you do that in this room?
No. In this room.
Really? It's a pretty tight space for all those people then.
To the suffrage of people, yes.
Yeah, wow.
But we make it work. As long as you can fit people in there, we can definitely make it work. Because sometimes on camera, it may look way bigger than it's supposed to be. Because even though this building is basically like a warehouse, because we ship from this building as stuff like that. So it's finding a space that is big enough and quiet enough is always a challenge that we have to do it in here.
So what other type of projects do you have working on?
Besides the game table, it's pretty much just revamping a lot of stuff and trying to get resources for players because that's one of the things I feel that is fairly important because I want to get tutorials out for people saying you play Starfinder, here's how you play Pathfinder, and maybe there's a common question on the forums like how do I do stealth in Pathfinder 2nd edition? I'm quite confused. So then
that is a tough one, by the way.
It is. Like even though it's to the point of like for Pathfinder 2nd edition, you just roll basically stealth and you're basically hidden in your priority in the pretty much who goes first is basically you're there. It's not very – sometimes people get confused because the English language can only go so far for a lot of people how you interpret it in the book. So having a resource where people goes, how do I do this? When they Google it up, hopefully they'll find our video saying this is how you do it.
Interesting. So do you have some advice for folks that might be interested in getting into social media production for a company like this?
Usually social media production for stuff like this, I think mine's more unique than some of the other companies would usually have it. So I can't 100% give you gospel, but one of the things I would say is learn how to communicate as best as you can because learning how to communicate, especially with a wide audience who can just say one thing and they'll interpret it as another, try to find the best way to communicate for that. And also try to gain certain skills that help you communicate with people. And to also show any sort of production value.
So when you say certain skills and production value in that, what type of things should people be working on?
Basically learn how to Photoshop
and
stuff like that. Learn when you Photoshop something or put something on the internet, what does that mean to somebody? Say, for example, if I put up an image of someone standing there in a certain shirt, when someone looks at that, how are they going to interpret that? How are they going to look at it and be like, are they going to be offended? Are they going to be complimented? Is it something that is detriment to your brand? It's always a question of, it's like, if you put something on the internet.
Like a lot of marketing then that you got to be worried about too.
You are tied into marketing in such a large way because you're basically an outlet of marketing from what I've learned. And basically learn some communication skills, definitely learn to write, and learn some production skills of working with Adobe or a video editor, which Adobe Premiere and stuff like that is usually very common because it's very accessible for a lot of people. And definitely learn how to video or image edit for like Photoshop or GIMP and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Learn some tools and techniques to make an image look good because you'll be doing that a lot because there'll be times where something instantly will happen on social media and you might want to make an image as fast as possible to react to that. And along with also, say, for example, someone's angry on the internet and stuff like that, is learning communication skills to not treat them terribly because – whenever someone's passionate about a game or whatever or angry about a certain topic, they're probably just frustrated over a certain thing. And you have to be able to read what they say and try to understand the issue. Because if someone goes, I didn't like how this monster can cleave my entire party and blah, 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 I see that as pretty much a case of, oh, he's probably frustrated because maybe a damage value is wrong, or maybe something in a scenario basically, you know, messed up. And it's, you have to be able to dissect that and then answer in the professional way, as much of a professional way as possible.
Right. When you're the face of the company, it's really important how you respond, because they're not saying, this is Peyton saying this. They're saying, the company is responding this way.
Yeah, because you're replying sometimes with the Paizo Twitter, so it's Paizo telling you for this and that. So you always have to keep that in mind and at least show them respect. Everyone's here just trying to play a game, trying to have fun. And you're doing your darnest to make sure they have a really good time where they're at.
And so you mentioned a couple of Pathfinder things here. Have you been playing a game lately as well?
I've been doing my best. Unfortunately, all my time is basically wake up, come here, go home, work even more, then go to sleep. I try to get a game in whenever I can, which is one of the detriments of a lot of game companies that I've talked to.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of folks are too busy working to even play the game that they're playing, except for playtesting here.
Well, basically when playtesting happens, we all try our best to get on board and stuff like that. And I know definitely a lot of the lead designers is to make sure they get a game in because they need to know certain systems and how they work and all that other stuff. And I try my best to be like, here, I'll play. I'll be another player because I love playing it.
Well, I'm a local GM here. We have games Wednesdays and Sundays. If you're ever interested in, we can get you in.
I might take you up on that offer whenever I ever get time.
Well, Peyton, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. I look forward to seeing you again at PaizoCon and maybe another convention should they decide to send you there to get some coverage and stuff.
Definitely. I'd like to see you there as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
All right. Thanks.